We are doing the Drashat Ramban, and the Ramban had been discussing when is the Mashiach going to come. And the Ramban had said that in the second Tochacha, the second rebuke that describes this exile, the Pasuk says, Hashem will rejoice over you to do good for you, just as Hashem was happy to do good, so too Hashem will make others happy to do bad. And it seems like the Pasuk is indicating that the same number of years as we had it good, that would be the number of years that we would have it bad. And the Ramban assumes that means the number of years we lived in the land of Israel. We know that Hashem does midah k'neged midah. So putting together all the different reasons he said earlier, he says, my conclusion is that the number of years we're going to be in exile equals the number of years that we were in the land of Israel. Ki atem yodim, says the Ramban, for you know, shenivna habayit b'shonim shana v'arbamot shana letzet bnei Yisrael mimitzrayim. So how do we do the math? He says, the temple was built in the year 480 after the Jews left Egypt. So you figure 40 years, you subtract 40 years that we were in the desert. We have 440 years in the land of Israel before the first temple was built. We know the first temple was erect for 410 years. So now we're up to 890 years. And in the book of Ezra it says that they were called upon, they went up to the land of Israel 19 years before the erection of the second temple. And we know the second temple was erect for 420 years. So the verse teaches us, from the verses we know, that the time we were in the land of Israel total, between the time we entered in the days of Yeshua plus the time during the second temple, we have 1,290. Just as it says in Daniel, when we were in exile, that the 90th year of the exile will be the redemption and we'll return to the land. So we have that period when we entered the land and hadn't yet built the temple, was partially exile, partially redemption. We had this period where we were here, but we didn't yet build the temple. And so too, the year they were exiled was the year 421. That's what we see from the tractate Erechin. So, the number of years where we would be in the land of Israel, and the number of years we would be in exile, are going to be equal, not more, not less. So that's the Ramban's math when it comes to that. That's his calculation. And furthermore, I find that our sages said, Remez batorah shel gimatria lagalut, v'imilat v'noshantem ba'aretz. The Talmud gives us an allusion from the Torah as to how long we would be in exile. The Torah says, v'noshantem ba'aretz. Chazal say, v'noshantem is the gematria of 852. And God says, you will become totally wiped from the land. So our sages say, if we would have been in the land of Israel for that total of 852, then when the exile would have come, we would have been totally wiped from the land. God did a favor with the people of Israel, and He exiled us after 850 years, 2 years before we hit that gematria, and that gave us hope, and that gave us the capacity to return. So that's what the Talmud says, that God said, v'noshantem, if you will be there up to the gematria of v'noshantem, which is the 852, then if you've sinned, then you're going to be exiled completely, it's over. V'adat notenit, ki yesham gam ken cheshbon legeula. So he says it seems logical that if that's the allusion as to when the first temple would be destroyed, there would also be an allusion there as to when we would be allowed to return and rebuild the temple. Ki tov yafeu l'umos zeh yoter mizeh. For it is more fitting to allude to when we'd make it back than to when we'd be exiled. אבל לא נודע רמז הזה, כאשר לא נודע גם כן רמז חשבון הגלות, עד שגלו ואז התבוננו בו. But this allusion is not known, just like they didn't know the allusion as to v'noshantem being 852, they also don't know the allusion as to when the redemption will be. It's only in hindsight that we look back and say, hey, that works. then we know that that was the illusion. And no one should mock the fact that I'm relying on the value of the letters, what we call gematria. A person might think, hey, that's ridiculous, that's worthless. Because a person could use the math to any ends. A person could also use the math to figure out, you know, ridiculous things. People say, Mas Achnasa is the gematria of Geinom. Okay? Big deal. So you see, gematria, you could do everything with gematria. So a person might look at it and say, what's it worth? Because the truth is, says the Ramban, that really a person cannot derive anything using his own logic and then saying, well, you know, I'm right because there's a gematria. That you cannot do. A gematria does not prove anything. But our sages had a tradition that Moshe at Sinai received certain known values in the Torah, that should be an allusion and a sign for a certain concept that God gave Moshe at Sinai. It's an allusion to something that we had on tradition. Nothing was derived from a gematria. This the Rambam says in Pirush HaMishnayos in Nazir and in Pirkei Avos. Chazal say Yihye. It says by the Nazir, it says he will be a Nazir. Yihye, Chazal say, is the numerical value of 30. From here, Chazal say, Stam nizigut 30 yom. If a person says plainly, I will be a Nazir, and he doesn't declare what period of time he's accepting nizigut, so we say a simply stated nizirus, the minimum is 30 days. We assume he meant for 30 days. How so? Yihye is the numerical value of 30. So the Rambam right away says, as do the other commentaries, it's not derived from the numerical value. They had a tradition, Stam Nizirut Shloshim Yom, and they had a tradition that there's this allusion to this concept with a numerical value. And that's what the Ramban is saying here too. He's saying certain things we have on tradition. What?
It's a way to remember
it. Oh, so he says, Zecher Siman. Says this is these are things we had on tradition, but the concept we had on tradition as well. The concept was not derived from the numerical value. Mehin b'inyanegadal, mehin b'isuvetel. Some of the gematrios have to do with agada. Some of the gematrios have to do with what's permitted and prohibited. Uchmosh amruin, as our sages taught, and he quotes this gemara in Nazir. Stam nizirut shloshim yom, a plainly stated nizirus. When a person plainly accepts to be a nazir, he's allotted 30 days. Dichtiv, the gemara says, because it says in the verse, yihi ye. And yihye has the numerical value of 30. The idea over here is just like when comes the gzerah shava. We know that many fundamental concepts of the Torah are contingent on this derivation of gzerah shava. Now gzerah shava is that we take one word that appears here, we take the same word that appears elsewhere, or a similar word that appears elsewhere, and we say whatever laws pertain to the word here pertain to the word there. Now you understand that if we take this concept and apply it at random, you could destroy the whole Torah, right? Take any two words in two places in the Torah and start saying, well, if it says it here, it says it there, well, we'll just derive it, right? So we don't say that. But when we have a tradition when to say it, we say it in accordance with the tradition. And using a gzeras shava, without a tradition, a person could derive evil things, and he could derive things that contradict the Torah. El Hashem Ruba, but our sages taught us when it comes to the Gzer Shava, En Adam Dan Gzer Shava Matzmo. A person may not say Gzer Shava on his own. He must have a tradition. V'neu lekayim v'lo listo. So if you have a tradition, then the Gzer Shava is there to uphold the Torah, to uphold our tradition. It's not there to contradict the tradition, because it's part of the tradition, provided that we apply it with our tradition. So the Ramban wants to say, by the same token, a gematria is something that has weight because it's something that comes with tradition. We wouldn't just derive it and say whatever we want because of a numerical value. But coupled with tradition, it is an allusion to concepts of the Torah. Should we do one more paragraph?
Sure.
So I'll tell you the truth. If you guys want to continue 10 more minutes, we'll finish the drasha today. If you want, we could leave it for next week. Should we finish today?
Yeah.
Yes? What's the vote? Finish tonight?
Yes.
Okay. So the Ramban says, and so too, you want to know the secret to derive when, how long this galus is going to be. Masot v'kabala b'yadam. Our sages had a tradition. What?
I'm glad we keep going.
They had a tradition that in that parsha where the Torah describes us in exile, in that parsha there is the allusion to how long the galus would take. And that allusion wasn't revealed till that decree came true, and then we realized that Venoshantim was the code as to how long would be the maximum we could stay sinning in the land of Israel. By the same token, we will see that the calculation of our redemption is also alluded to in the Torah, as I have said. And now that we think we figured out the right number, when the redemption is going to come, says the Ramban. So the Ramban thought the redemption would come when? 1,290 years after we've been in exile. So the Ramban's date has passed, right? We said Rashi's date passed, Rav Saadia Gaon's date passed, the Rambam's date passed. Now we see that the Ramban's date has also passed. And we said what Rashi says in Daniel, Rashi says that we have to reread the verses. Every time we try to figure out what Daniel meant, and Daniel said, I'll keep it hidden, like the angel told him to do. So he kept it hidden, and every time a new generation comes and rereads it, and again tries to figure out what did he mean. And he says, when we see the date passed and Mashiach didn't come, so we know that they erred. We have to go back to the drawing board, reread the psukim, and try to figure out again. So what did he mean? He hit it so well. The Maharal has a different approach, which is the more commonly known approach, and that is that every one of these explanations is true. Every one of these is a potential. It's a time when the Mashiach could come. It's like the alarm clock ringing, like Rav Feinstein told me once. When the alarm clock rings in the morning, you could get up or hit the snooze button. These times are the alarm clock ringing. If the Jewish people would live up to it, then Mashiach would come at any one of these times. There are multiple explanations that are true in the words of the Prophet. And it's up to us to live up to it, and then we wake up with the alarm clock. But every time, we've chosen to hit the snooze button. So we need to go for the next explanation. Yeah?
Was there like any time special during the, during the Rambam prediction, during those times, were there anything special that was going on?
I don't know. I'll tell you, Rabbi Feinstein did the math based on when they put the Dome on the Rock, when they put that up there. His math came out with the year that we got back Jerusalem, the year that we got back the Kotel. That's how his math came out. But Mashiach didn't come then. 67 were.
What was he
did the math from when they put the Dome of the Rock up there. When they put the... No, he took Rashi's calculation, but he started it at a later date. Meaning, Daniel says when they put the defiled thing up there. So the first commentaries all assume that you do the math based on the day of the destruction, when they destroyed the temple, and they put idol worship in the Holy of Holies. Rabbi Feinstein did the math from the day that they... Rav David. He did the math from the time that they put the Dome of the Rock up there. And he came out with...
It was exactly...
Yeah, that's what he came out with in his shiur.
What number?
The numbers I don't remember. You gotta look inside.
But exactly, you got to 67.
What was the year we got back to Yerushalayim? 67, no?
I did the math on the, what was said before, the 1290 plus one plus a half. And right. If you add that to the date, approximate date, the prophecy was, that the book of Daniel was written, I don't know. There's still time left for that.
Okay. So maybe you're right.
Because at this time it'll be sooner, but I'm just saying that that calculation could still be valid at some point, maybe.
Okay.
So if Mashiach doesn't come, does the world like just die? Huh?
It's not a question of does he or doesn't he, it's a question of when will he?
Yeah.
So we don't know, we keep waiting.
Rav Nachman just said 14 years of time limits.
We just learned
that. Oh, yeah. 6,000. 6,000, the world like you just blow up.
It's not gonna happen.
Maybe the Death Star.
So the Ramban says,
the Jews in the year 6000 of Mashiach.
We have a class on that. Go to Tana de Bailio online. The first series we discussed that, the 6000 years. So it's just too long to discuss now. So the Ramban says, being that we think we figured out the number, let's find gematria in the Torah that alludes to the number we've come up with. And I've already mentioned that all four exiles of the four kingdoms were alluded to Avram in the covenant Ben Abtarim in Galut Mitzrayim, including the exile of Egypt, Shneimalo Beferush, that was said to him explicitly. And just as the exiles were alluded to Avram, so too the salvation from them was also alluded. And we know an exact number was given with regard to the Egyptian exile, and God alluded to the calculation that the other exiles would take. And I've come up with the following number. It says they will afflict them 400 years. Comes up with a number of 1,293. And that's like the number of years we hope the exile will be. Plus you add the 3 years, 3.5 years that preceded the exile. As the verse says in Daniel, that there will be a half of a Shemitah cycle, 3.5 years that there will be no sacrifices. And that half a week is undoubtedly a reference to the time that we were afflicted. And so even though it comes out to 1,000, even though the number it came up with was 1,293 and I said 1,290, that's to include the 3 years before the exile when we were afflicted and we stopped bringing the sacrifices. And that's 1,290 from the time, the day of the destruction. And the reason that the verse gives a number that's 3 years longer is because the verse says they will afflict them this number of years, and we were afflicted for 3 years before the destruction. So that the affliction took place for 1,293 years. Being that God made a pact with Avram that he will do good unto him and his offspring, and they will inherit the land. God let Avram know all the exiles that his children will be exiled from the land. God was promising him, you'll have the land. So God let him know the exiles from them, letting him know, I'm giving you this gift, but it's not unlimited. They will lose it at times. And God said to him, no, you should certainly know. The first exile was said explicitly, because Avram had already sinned, and the decree was already there, as I explained earlier. And the other exiles, God said to Avram with allusion, as we explained earlier. As we quoted our sages in their explanation on the verse that says that all the different forms of fear settled in on Avram, and the different forms of fear the Ramban had explained are allusions to the different exiles. And the number of years till the redemption was also an allusion. Because they hadn't yet sinned, so the decree wasn't yet there that they would be exiled from the land of Israel for this number of years till the redemption. But God knew what was yet to come. And the Ramban says, like the Rambam says, like Rav Saadia Gaon said, like everyone said, we are at the end of time, like people say today. We are undoubtedly now at the period of the end of time. That's why people always tell me, isn't it for sure that we're at Chavlei Mashiach? So I always tell them, the Rambam said it, and the Ramban said it, and that was 600 years ago. So if it could take 600 years till now, I don't know how many more years it could take. So I wouldn't place my bets on it. Because undoubtedly before the end of time will come, there will be signs from God, just like in Egypt and in Babylon, there were miracles that preceded the final redemption. And that's why we wait each day, lekol mevaser, to the voice that will come and let us know. And undoubtedly, our small children will see it. The Ramban says, I am certain that the little kids, they will still see the redemption, Bezrat Hashem Yitbarach. Now the Ramban comes to his concluding paragraph.
Little kids meaning people who don't know too much.
No, he means to say, I might not live to see it, but the next generation will see it. והנה יש לי להשלים עניין סיפורי מעשיהם של אבות בכל ספר בראשית מה הוא רומז. And I have to conclude with the stories of the forefathers throughout Bereshis, what they allude to. כי סיפורי הבורות שחפרו וכל מה שעשו עם אבימלך סימנים לגלות בבל. The stories of the wells they dug and what they've done with Avimelech is an allusion to what would happen in Babylon. וכל מה שסיפר ביעקב והראה לו עם עשיו מסדר וישלח יעקב מלאכים. And everything the Torah tells us about Yaakov, what happened with him and Esav, in Vayishlach Yaakov, that Yaakov sent messengers, Akol Remazim Nemasherah Levanav Shel Yaakov in Banav Shel Esav, that's all an allusion to what would happen between Yaakov's children and Esav's children. Uvcholan Ani Motzev Ivreshit Rabbah Uveagadot Dvarim Niflaim. And with regard to all of these stories, I find in the Medrash Rabbah and in the Agados of Chazal amazing things. Ima Sheadam Yechol Leosif Ulfaresh, you can add to that what a person could add to explain these parashas and what we should learn from them. Ela Sheyetoach Gadol Lefaresh Adavar Baorech. And the only reason I'm not going into it, says the Ramban, is because it would be very tedious to explain at length what all these things allude to. Vani mashlim bagula. So I want to end with the redemption. That was the last point I explained, and that's where I want to end. Hakadosh Baruch Hu yisamchenu b'tzion. God should make us happy in Zion. V'samech tzion v'vaneh, and make Zion happy with her children. V'samech otah b'shchinato, and make Zion happy with His presence. Shia simcha gdola, because that's the great happiness, כמו שכתוב במדרש מישלי, באותו שנקרא מדרש חזית, as it says in the Medrash Mishlei, that's called Medrash Chazit. Mashal lematonita. This is compared to an important Roman woman, שהלך בעלה ובניה וחתנה למדינת הים. Her husband, her children, her sons-in-law, went to a distance. באו ואמרו לה, they came back to the woman, and they said to her, הרי בנייך באו, they said to her, your children are returning. Amra ma'achpatli. Tismachna kalotai. She says, what do I care? My daughters-in-law will be happy. Their husbands have returned. Kivan shebao chatanei amru la arei bao chatanayich. When her sons-in-law came, they said to her, your sons-in-law have returned. Amra ma'achpatli. She said, what do I care? Tismachna benotai. My daughters will be happy. Amru la ba melech ba'alech. They said to her, the king, your husband has returned. She said, that is undoubtedly a complete happiness. Chadu al chadu, that is happiness on top of happiness. Kach le'atid lavo, so too in the future. Ba'in anvi'in v'omrim l'Yerushalayim, banayich merachok yavo. The prophets come and say to Jerusalem, your sons have come from afar. V'hi omeret ma'echpatli. And Jerusalem says, what do I care? Tagel nabnot Yehuda, let the daughters of Judah rejoice, because the children have returned. Uvnotai mikze haaretz. So they tell her, but your daughters have returned from the edge of the land. V'yomeret ma'echpatli. And she says, what do I care? Yismach al Tzion. The mountain of Zion could rejoice in its daughters. Kevan she'amru la, hineh malkech yavolach. But when they tell her, your king is coming. Amra hached v'tashlem tahi. So then the mountain says, now it's complete happiness. Tichtiv gili me'od b'tzion ari bat Yerushalayim. Bezrat Hashem, we will conclude the psukim, the conclusion of Drashat Torah Hashem Tmima next week with the Siyum. We aren't adequately prepared. We have to bring more goodies. So we'll finish up Bezrat Hashem with the end of the pasuk Yeshaya Samachalif. Bezrat Hashem next week.